We've got a great guest coming up, Josh Burhau of Golf.com. He's a great writer, and he appears here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Josh, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, you too. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hey, look, this was a really interesting day yesterday, and we've got a little bit of time to talk about the actual match itself, but I want to start with the actual execution of a pay-per-view live golf event. I kind of mentioned in the opening segment of the program, it's probably far off where teams and leagues are going to consider streaming their games online rather than striking deals that they might not feel are worthy from a financial perspective because of all the cord cutting. I had never purchased pay-per-view live events before. I'm not really a boxing or a UFC guy, but I bought yesterday's event and I tried to pay attention to what they delivered on and what they didn't, the production value, all that stuff. What did you think about of everything yesterday from that perspective?
Well, first of all, these guys put themselves, Turner and Bleacher Report, they put themselves in a really tough spot because the hype around this was just amazing. You know, like you
sure.
couldn't, you know, how often does something live up to the hype? It's pretty rare. So they obviously, you know, they were putting everything behind this and they had to perform. The other thing is this is golf. You know, it's not football. It's not basketball. There's a lot of dead air to fill. So that makes it tough too. And I think, you know, probably when you're sitting around, you know, when you're sitting at the table, you know, all the corporate heads are trying to figure out how to do this thing. No commercials, mic'd up, sounds pretty cool. But I think in reality, when you have a golf event like this with the guys mic'd up and then no commercials, that makes it tough on them. You know, it's like what makes the off-the-cuff comments that these golfers say when they're playing regular tournaments, what makes that good is that it's off-the-cuff. They don't realize they're mic'd up. You know, they're in the moment. This Tiger and Phil, consciously, they know that people can hear what they're saying. So then you get some forced trash talk. You get some awkwardness. You know, you had that back nine yesterday. Phil had a point where he's like, hey, I don't really know what to say to you anymore, Tiger, kind of something like that. Like, I'm trying to talk to you as much as I can, or he said something like that. But it's just a lot of dead air to fill, and then that kind of puts a lot of pressure on, you know, your announcers and your analysts and your on-course reporters, and it's just really hard to pull off in a golf space. So I think, you know, it was okay. I think there's a lot of work to do, but it's just when you only have two guys there and you can't go to, you know, 150 other guys in the field and check in on them or do anything like that, it makes it kind of tough.
I'm with you, man. I thought the whole event started really slow. I kind of expected a little more trash talking. When I first watched it, I actually thought Phil looked really tight and nervous and short of breath on the range in the first few holes, especially when he had chances to kind of put Tiger on his heels, and he didn't. I thought it was lacking a punch, and there were times where it felt like the guys were trying to fill some of that dead air, and then Tiger and Phil would start talking to each other, but the broadcast talent didn't always get out of the way. So I thought having them mic'd up was great, but a lot of times, you know, the talent talked over them, and so I'm curious, if you were producing an event like this, after seeing what you saw yesterday, did anything strike you that you thought, okay, boy, if I were producing this, I need to change this?
You know, I think the one thing I would do is, and I know this is above me when it comes to, you know, bringing money in and commercials and advertisers, but like, bring commercials in. What's
sure.
the big deal about commercials? Like, why do we need 4 hours of nonstop sports? You know, people can pause things now if they want, you know, and commercials aren't that bad anyway. It gives us time to go grab food. We can go to the bathroom. You know, we can go to something else. It's not like we need to watch something consistently for 4 hours, and then all of a sudden we'll take some pressure off these guys to not just do the, you know, to, okay, what do I got? I got a razz Tiger here after he misses this putt. And then that just sounds like, you know, a bunch of bad dad jokes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And having done a lot of live events myself, after a while, you're on air for 4 hours in a row. You start looking around, you're like, okay, I need a break. I need to recollect myself.
I'm sure these guys were just exhausted when they were done.
It's got to be. It had to have been tough. I admit the drama of the event itself built as things went out, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, toward the end, people got more drawn into it. It actually, that last, I don't know, 30 minutes kind of reminded me of that scene from The Legend of Bagger Vance when they had to illuminate the green, where all the car headlights came up and all that. So as a golf fan, I thought there were parts of it that were fun. Actually, the most fun part to me was Tiger chipping in on 17. That was the first time I felt like someone actually made a shot that was, you know, really impressive. It felt like a lot of waiting for the other guy to falter.
Yeah, I think Tiger made that, or was it Phil made a putt on, I think, 12 feet or so. He made a par putt on 15 to go, I think it was one up. And, I mean, I think that was the longest hole putt of the day. So these guys, just they weren't really playing well, so that didn't really help their cause. That's the other thing with a golf production like this. You know, it's always going to be hit or miss. Guys aren't going to shoot 64 every time they come out. So it can be pretty boring at times.
Yeah, and look, they shot 69 yesterday. It's not like they stunk. I mean, you know, they had pretty good rounds.
So I think what it comes down to is, were people looking at this through the lens of, was this a golf event or was it an entertainment or a show or something they had to pay for? And if it was a golf event, maybe you wanted a little more. If you're looking at something just to sit down and get watch two legendary golfers, put on a show for you and entertain you for a while, then I think you got that.
216-578-0092. If you want to jump in, Josh Berhau from golf.com is our special guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Josh, there were a lot of fun things on social media yesterday, and they tried to showcase that during the event. It kind of felt like most of what they showcased was from a younger generation, but not everybody loved it. I saw a tweet before the match started yesterday from Gary Player. Bleacher Report, if you weren't familiar, folks, they tweeted a couple of photos with Tiger and Phil behind these, you know, giant stacks of fake cash to, you know, pump this thing up. And Gary Player tweeted that the winner should donate the $9 million to the First Tee, which, if you don't know, is an organization that kind of helps kids learn the game and learn life skills. But it struck me that Gary Player didn't seem to love the concept of this match, you know, winner take all, $9 million. I don't know if you have a pulse on this, but do you have any idea what maybe some of the older players might have thought about the whole ordeal? Because it didn't always seem positive.
Well, I think it's just, you know, I don't think they like the fact that a bunch of, you know, guys who have more money than they'll ever know what to do with are, you know, hyping this event where they're bringing home $9 million. And I know a lot of that's probably, I don't think Phil's keeping all that nine. I think some's going to charity. I'm not exactly sure how much. I don't know if I'll ever know. But it's just, you know, I think Nick Faldo tweeted about that picture too. And I think he said, like, you know, he was obviously a player, but speaking about his time in the booth, he's like, we were told to never really mention purses. And now we don't stop talking about $9 million. And it's how the times have changed. And I think that's kind of what Gary was referring to. It's just, it's different now. And, you know, everything's money driven, where I think, you know, I tweeted last night that I think after watching this whole event, I think takeaways, and I don't care if these guys were playing for $9 million. I didn't care about the side bets. That didn't do anything for me. Like, I honestly didn't think that the money was on their minds that much. I think they wanted to beat each other. And I think you can get two good players, any two good players, you know, get Spieth and Dustin Johnson, throw in Lexi Thompson, Michelle Wee, whatever, have a fun event. And who cares about the purse? Who cares about the side bets? Who cares about the talking heads? Just have them go play golf on a cool course, you know, once a month during a dead season. Make it free, and I think people would watch that. You know, I think when you get the $9 million in there, that's when you get your sponsors, so that's a whole different animal. But I think just some of these old guys, or some of these older guys, were just a little more old school and didn't kind of like the flashiness of this.
Josh Berhau from golf.com, our guest. Josh, what's your price point? If you had to pay for an event like this, and if it wasn't going to be, you know, free to viewers because of advertising and things like that, was $20 too much? Was it too steep? Was it just right? Where did you feel about that? And if it weren't golf, if it were a sport that you were fairly passionate about, but maybe wasn't your job, what's your price point?
It's hard to say. I would say probably 20-ish or so. I mean, when you think about it, like, you know, if you're sitting at home at night, you know, ordering this, whatever it is, boxing, golf, whatever you want to do. I mean, you go out with a couple of buddies that night, grab dinner or drink, you're probably spending more than that. So,
sure.
You know, it's really, in the grand scheme, it's not too much. But at the same time, you know, we want everything. We're so used to just having everything right in front of us. And why would we have to pay for this? That kind of just, you know, irks us a little bit. But, I think this is probably a good test. I know they want this to have, you know, reoccurring value and maybe have Phil and Tiger kind of bring this along as, you know, they maybe go through the retirement stages in the next 20 years. I think that's probably the best case scenario. And
yeah.
I think this was probably just a good, you know, let's throw $20 out there. Let's see how it works. And then they can probably reassess from there. But for $20, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, there is an audience for it. The prop bets they had going throughout, and if you're in Vegas and you're watching this, you know, you have options to bet on it. I think that's a lot of fun. So it just really depends what kind of person you're trying to attract, and I think there is an audience for it for as much people as you might turn off as well.
I totally agree, and we could do an hour talking about all of the prop betting and live betting during an event and how that might affect some other leagues and, you know, things even beyond golf, but certainly don't have time for that. A couple more for you. Let's talk a little bit just briefly about the match itself. What do you think most people didn't expect, you know, Phil to actually beat Tiger, right? Phil's awful performance at the Ryder Cup, really hadn't seen him since then.
I think when it's all said and done, people just look back at this as kind of like, oh yeah, and then Phil beat Tiger that one time that when they played head-to-head. I don't think he'll have much of a lasting impact. I think Tiger probably had the most to lose because people were expecting him to win, so I'm sure he's not real psyched about that. But even though Phil wasn't really playing well, you know, Phil's legend on tour is, you know, the money guy who's always playing games and, you know, always he has his Tuesday money match when they have little four-ball sessions with other guys on tour. And so he's always playing this kind of game. So even though he's not playing well, stroke play, match play, completely different animal. So you get Phil in that setting, you get him against Tiger, a guy who he doesn't really need to hype himself up to play against. And, you know, you can find it. They both missed. They both played pretty well, except for just missing putts. You know, no one could really drain anything to kind of get the upper hand. But yeah, I don't think Tiger might. I don't think his legacy is going to be hurt by it. But I'm sure he's probably wishes he wouldn't have give Phil this trump card.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Last thing for you, Josh, and it's more about you. You working on any pieces that you'd like to share? What's next for you now that we've kind of hit the slow season on the PGA Tour until things ramp back up in January?
Ooh, slow season. you know, yeah, very slow season. That's what makes it tough is just looking into stuff. But, you know, Golf Magazine is unveiling a brand new golf magazine come February. Whole remodel. It's going to be great. So that's definitely something that as a whole team we've been working on a lot. Me specifically, a lot of little side projects. Nothing too huge yet, but just, you know, trying to keep my pulse on the tour. This is kind of the fun time where it's slow, but it's also time where it gives us an opportunity to kind of get ahead for next year. Because once you get to February, January, it really just, you know, it's nonstop. So
everybody thinks golf season starts with the Masters, and they don't realize there's tournaments for 3 months before that leads up to that. Josh, love checking in with you, man. Really enjoy your work on golf.com and Golf Magazine, and we'll look forward to touching base again soon.
All right. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Josh Berhau, golf.com, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.